Blog
like a free
radio.
Thing, you know. So yeah, insane, man, just insane. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. How about those Bengals? Beeb, did you watch that? Did you see that? The Bengals in the AFC Championship, son, for the third time ever. Did you watch that?
Get that fucking
the
shirt
Bengals,
right
son.
Now. Get it off.
Bengals, son. You like
get
it?
Get it off.
Love it, son. Learn to live with it. They're going all the way, son. Nothing can stop them now, baby. That's it. It's all over but the crying. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news and anything related to the Bengals, obviously. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call, you can call in 323-870-3857. And tonight, we got some breaking news coming out of the UK. Anthony Joshua, this is from Gareth Davies, is expected to take some step-aside money to allow the Usyk and Fury fight to happen. We'll give you all the details on this, but first, we're going to get started with Showtime. Beeb, Gary Russell Jr. and Mark Magsayo for Russell's WBC featherweight title. Mark Magsayo does the boxing world a favor and beats Gary Russell Jr. in a majority decision by the scores of 115, 113, and twice, and then 114, 114. I'm going to be honest here. I don't know what the judges were watching. I didn't see the fight as this close at all. I know some people had this fight this close. There was a lot of Gary Russell sympathy going on out there, but I don't see it, not even a little bit. I know that the Showtime guy had, I guess he had this fight even at some point, like in the sixth round or eighth round or something like that, and I about fell out of my chair. I was like, you got to be kidding me. How is this this fight isn't even close? Listen, Gary Russell did well defensively, but he wasn't throwing any punches. Furthermore, he wasn't landing any punches. Okay, you can't win a fight if you don't throw punches. You can't win a round if you don't throw punches. And I heard him talking about Willie Pep last night and everything. Shut up. You know, he won a round, didn't throw it. Shut up. Just shut up. Gary Russell's not Willie Pep, all right?
And that's bullshit, too, because that never happened.
It's so stupid.
That's an exaggeration. I don't know why people keep repeating that lie.
Right. You know, you got to throw punches as part of the game, man. Russell claimed that he was fighting with one hand or one arm, basically. If that was the case, listen, he did well with one hand. But he didn't win any rounds, and he didn't win that fight, all right? And what on earth were the judges watching, man? Gary Russell won the fifth round on two of the three judges' scorecard. He won. Listen to me again. He won the fifth round on two of the three judges' scorecard. Gary Russell landed four punches in that round. Magsayo landed 20. How's that even possible? That's just plain incompetence, man. You still think I'm wrong? You still don't think this was a lopsided fight? Let's take a look at the numbers. Let's go ahead and look at them here. Total punches landed. Gary Russell, 69 in a 12-round fight. Magsayo landed 150, threw 543 punches. Connect percentage was 28. Gary Russell only threw 323 punches. You can't win a fight, landed 69 punches. Who on earth? All these people, please explain to me, all these people that had Gary Russell, you know, draw with a draw in this fight or winning this fight, what were you watching? Because you weren't watching the same fight I was watching. Because he wasn't throwing any punches, son.
Here's the thing. Once people saw him fighting without just one arm, just fighting with one arm, right, without the use of his right arm, once people started seeing that, they started – you know, looking for ways to give him rounds, like because he automatically he got the heart of the people. Like, oh, look how, you know, this guy's brave. He's fighting with one arm. He's staying in there, and he got a lot of. I'm gonna say it, and it's, like you said, he got sympathy rounds.
Yeah,
really
absolutely did.
I gave him the third and the eighth, and I think I gave him the ninth, but I could have easily given that to Magsayo.
When did they check? Let me ask you a question. When did they check his arm? Remember the doctor came in there and checked his arm and was jerking him around and stuff like that?
And
when was that? They could have stopped the fight then. They should have stopped the fight then. Because
now.
Did you see him wince like that?
There you go. He was like, they're like, oh, he's okay, he's okay. And he was grimacing every time the doctor pulled the arm.
At this point, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You were injured? Great. But you stepped in the ring, son? You know, and after the fight, and I give Gary Russell all the credit in the world going in there and fight. That took a lot of courage. Knowing you were jacked up, that took a lot of courage to go in there and do that. But that doesn't mean you give him rounds. That doesn't mean he wins the fight. And then after the fight, this is beautiful too. Russell's got more excuses than a guy going to prison, man. Well, my shoulder's injured. I was out for 2 years, blah, blah, blah. You know, they brought up his brother, his father, and, you know, listen, if you were injured, you shouldn't have been fighting. If you decided to fight with an injury, you should just shut up and accept what happens. He claimed, now check this out, B. So he claimed this is an injury from the Olympics. Then you should have got surgery for it. You had 2 years to get surgery. He was off for 2 years. Why didn't you get surgery then? He fights once a year. Why don't you get surgery in between fights?
Here's my problem. He's telling everyone he's injured before the fight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a minor injury, right?
Laying the groundwork. He was laying the groundwork is what he was doing.
Now, I think he defrauded the public, right? Because people bought tickets to see a Gary Russell. No one's 100%, but they're paying tickets to see a close to 100% Gary Russell if possible. And that Gary Russell in that ring was 50%. That's number one. Number two. You have to fill out a questionnaire with the commission before the fight to reveal if there's any injuries. Now, he already put out that he was injured, right? So he didn't tell us, but he has to tell the commission what the injury was, right? Now, if he says, well, I got a bad shoulder, and they just say, well, okay, what's wrong with it? He says, oh, it's just a little sore. It's up to them to do due diligence. Well, we need a report from the doctor. We need to know exactly what's wrong with that shoulder. Anyone could say like it's just like I have a sore shoulder, but it could be a hairline fracture in there somewhere in a bone. It could be a torn labrum. It could be a torn rotator cuff. Like these commissions need to do a better job, right, with the pre-medical care. You know
they do, and you know what? Again, I mean, you know, if I'm his promoter, you could withhold this purse. You absolutely could withhold his purse because you weren't honest. You lied on the medical.
Here's the thing.
That's a breach of contract.
You lied on the medical, right? At the very least, the commission should reprimand him. Maybe fine him or something. He should face some type of reprimand here for lying, first of all.
Yeah.
And again, everyone, I'm being an asshole. Look at the Hardy Show. Yes. But he defrauded the public. He said he had a minor injury. That was not a minor injury. That was an injury, as Eric said, from 2008 that was supposed to get surgery back then, right?
Yep.
And now people bought tickets to go watch that fight. They wanted to watch it live. They paid their hard-earned money to go see Gary Russell thinking that he was going to be close to, you know, 100% or close to as possible. And no one thought he was going to go in there with one arm, right? People bet on the fight, right? Beating your odds at Beeb, once again, testimonials. We have the testimonials. We told you, put some money on McSayo. He's live, plus 275.
We both called him. I told Chacal yesterday. He was going to win that fight. You know, Gary Russell, what was he? He was out for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
His father had just gone through a procedure where he lost his leg. He's got diabetes or whatever.
My heart goes out to him, man.
Said he was injured. All this, you know, all this perfect storm here, and then he's already laying the groundwork that, you know, he's injured. He won't say what injury, but he's injured, blah, blah, blah. So he's already laying the groundwork for this, you know, for him not to do his best out there. So I don't know, man. Then you shouldn't have got in. You shouldn't have fought. The worst part of this whole thing, when they asked him point blank, hey, why do you fight only once a year? Because nobody will fight me. Shut up. Just shut up. You've got a million fights out there. All you have to do is take them.
I'm going to say something else that's going to sound very controversial, but I'm going to say it. People are sitting there saying, well, why couldn't McSayo get him out of there? Why did he stop throwing punches? I'm going to be honest with you. After the 10th round, I heard Freddie Roach say to him, stop showing this guy compassion. Go out there and get this guy. I think he actually felt, once he saw that he only had one arm, I think he felt bad for him.
I think he did,
I think he
too.
Let up. I honestly think he let up on him. I really do. Now, let me just say this. If you're the commission, right, and you don't do your due diligence, like I said before, right, and you don't find out what's wrong with that arm, let me ask you this question. If he's in there with a Tank Davis with one arm, what happens? Tank Davis ain't going to let up on him.
No.
Right?
Not even a little bit.
By going in there with one arm, and if the commission doesn't do their due diligence to find out how injured he is, like the Nevada State Athletic Commission, we knew Manny Pacquiao had an injured shoulder because he had to report it on the questionnaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, you know, and they didn't give him the shot because he didn't report it in time. He ended up telling them after the questionnaire, and then he wanted to get the shot, right? The Toradol, whatever it was, the painkiller,
yeah.
Right? So again, these commissions need to say, hey, what's the injury? I need to see a medical record there or an examination record from a doctor. We need to know what's wrong with these guys. Because now we're hearing Teofimo Lopez could have died in the ring. And he said he had an injury before his fight with Kamposis, right? So, again, just like before, right, when they never used to have, like, the ambulances with the oxygen at ringside. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? Someone had to get hurt severely until they did that. You know, Sugar Ray Seals fought with one eye for the longest time. So did Joe Frazier. Many other fighters, right, fought with one eye. Lamont Brewster, right? This was before that the commissions made it a requirement that you have to get your eye examined every year, and we have to have that report. Because if that wasn't – like Sugar Ray Leonard, he fought a couple fights with that eye compromised, right? Back then, you weren't required by the commission to have the yearly eye examined and turn those medical records over to the commission, right? So if that was the case, Errol Spence would have went into that Manny Pacquiao fight with a torn retina, and who knows what would have happened. So
right.
it always takes something like someone that could get hurt. Something always has to happen. It has to, has to always be a worst case scenario before these guys step up, these commissions step up. And I hope this is a learning experience. You know, make these guys fill out medical questionnaires, and if they don't report an injury and then they say they're injured after the fight, they should get fined. They should get fined because, again, you're defrauding the commission and you're defrauding the public. And I don't care, how could you be so unempathetic to the guy who went in there and showed a lot of heart and courage? Yeah, but he also lied and he defrauded the public, and people paid good money to see him, and people gambled on the fight. And now you put the commission, and then the commission doesn't do their due diligence. So what if something happens to the guy and we find out after the fight, you know, he's fighting with one arm and then he can't defend himself, and then he gets hit with a left hook that knocks him out and severely injures him because he can't even lift his right arm to defend himself.
Yeah, that's the thing. People, like you said, people bet on this fight. People bought tickets to this fight. That's the main event. And
I guess there was a Filipino news outlet that was complaining about how, like, he should have revealed that injury, and it takes away from Mixio's victory now.
Yeah, it does. You know what? He did. He said he was injured, but he wouldn't say what his injury was.
It was a minor injury.
Gotcha. Okay. Lennox was best says he was fighting fine for four rounds. No, he wasn't. He wasn't planning his shoulder to pop. First of all, his shoulder didn't pop. This was an injury he came in with. This is an injury he had. It didn't get worse over the fight.
Yeah.
So you're wrong. You know, and a lot of people, there's a lot of Gary Russell sympathizers out there today. Oh, I thought he won the fight. How? By not throwing any punches? How?
He stopped using his left hand after the third round.
Why nobody was hip to that? Why the referee, you know what I mean? Like, stop that fight.
Excuse me, right hand. He stopped using his right hand after the third round. And once again, he probably took a painkiller and it wore off, or the adrenaline wore off, and that's why he couldn't use it. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing, man. And I mean, I tell you what, and listen, man, again, Gary Russell showed a lot of heart being in there last night, a lot of heart going 12 rounds. But listen, we both picked Mark Mixio to win this game. Boxing with Sean, yes, he dominated him. I gave him one round in that fight.
I gave him three rounds.
I gave him, I think, the third round. I couldn't find a round to give
him. You wanted to go out of your way for him, you could have. I don't know if you could have even given him four rounds.
If you had Gary Russell winning that fight, or even close to winning that fight. The judges, again, we go back to what I said, the fifth round, where he landed four punches and two of the three judges gave him the round. Yeah. Xayo landed 20. I don't understand.
Yeah.
He wasn't throwing enough punches. He was landing consistent. No, he wasn't. He landed, what did I say, 70-some punches through the fight?
Come on, Sean.
Stop it.
Come on,
you're better than this.
Stop it, Sean.
You're better than this.
Come on, Sean.
69 punches. Gary Russell landed 69 punches in this fight. On what planet does he win a decision?
From the fifth round on, he threw zero jabs. Cut it out.
Stop.
Another Gary Russell sympathizer.
Yeah, you can't do that, man. Can't do that.
Come on, cut out. Listen, I'm not going to criticize anyone's scorecard, man. I'm not going to criticize anyone's scorecard because I scored to this, Bradley over Pacquiao 7-5, and to this day
We've all had our scorecard. We've all had our scorecards.
But here's the thing, man.
Yes, Sean, you.
Don't sit there and say he landed consistently.
No, he absolutely did.
No, he absolutely didn't. You had him winning the fight, or you
one
had
and
him
done is what he was
landing. If you thought the fight was close, I'm not going to sit there and argue, but don't sit there and say he was landing consistently because, again, I'm not a big punch stat guy, but these punch stats looked pretty accurate to me. They were a pretty accurate reflection of what I saw last night.
Boxing with Sean says he's racist.
I never said you were racist. I said you were a
sympathizer.
A Gary Russell sympathizer.
Gary Russell sympathizer. You're not racist. Stop.
You've been watching too many LDBC videos, man. You got them on the brain too much, man.
Relax.
Cut it out.
Relax.
Cut it out, man. You're on the wrong channel. You're not on an LDBC channel, man. Cut it out.
Oh, God. Your boy's about to do it again, babe. Your boy's about to tie up that game. Brady's about to go in.
I'm sorry, Reese Mack. He threw five jabs in the fourth round. My mistake.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
I apologize.
Sean, we know you're joking, man. Relax, man. We told you. Just relax. We love you. Love Sean. Incidentally, Sean, how did you have the fight scored? Did you have Russell winning this fight?
Probably had it 7-5.
Oh, stop it.
From Xayo.
I really can't believe it was 115-1. I can't believe it was that close. I really don't believe that, man. What in the world?
John's been slipping lately, man. I feel bad for the guy. He's going through some stuff.
He's a Bengals fan.
He must be going through some stuff over in Thailand, man. I don't know.
Oh, stop it. Take it up with show stats. Listen, I mean, again, we don't rely on CompuBox to see who won and who lost. I get that.
Reese, I'm watching this fight unfold.
Like I'm watching this fight unfold. You know what I mean? Ronald Finkley said, I called it the perfect split decision. Wasn't that what it was? No, it wasn't a split decision. It was a majority decision. But, again, man, it wasn't close. This fight was not close, man. Mark went well, chasing and missing Taiwan Beef.
Taiwan.
He was chasing and missing, but Russell was offering no offense. None. No, zero offense was being brought up by Russell. Not even a little bit, son. Nothing. He offered up no resistance. That's the thing. You know? He's offering up zero resistance, man. You can't give him that fight based on that performance. That was awful.
His shoulder didn't, again, Lennox, his shoulder didn't pop, bro.
No.
Yeah, again, these guys, man.
He said, my understanding was he had a minor injury not worth mentioning. Whoa. No, it was not
your
a minor
understanding,
injury. We understand
understanding
it now.
Your understanding is wrong. You did not understand it properly. I mean, the guy's shoulder was literally hanging down. All right?
And again, man, he should not have been in there. And from what I understand, and that was the other thing, he was saying that his corner – that basically he was training himself for this fight because of the incident with his dad and everything like that. He was training himself. Again, he laid out every excuse possible. Again, all of these are very, very bad things to happen to anybody. And I don't wish them on anybody, obviously. But when you're going into why air all this out? Because, again, if you lose the fight, it's just going to make you look like you're making excuses. And it looks like you're making excuses. You know, that's the thing. I don't get it. I really don't get it, man. It was one of those. It was one of it was a classic Gary Russell move where he doesn't fight for 2 years. He comes back, and Father Time caught up with him. It caught up with him.
Yeah,
it just did. You can't. He's 35. What, isn't he 35?
33.
He's 33, right? 33. He hasn't fought in 2 years. He fights once a year since he's had the belt. I don't have a lot of sympathy for him. Mark Masayo, as far as I'm concerned, relieved the hostage situation, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's holding that belt hostage. I gave him one round in that fight. I gave him one, you know? And if you had that fight closer than it was, then you were looking to give him rounds. And again, he did very well. He didn't get knocked out with one arm. He was a very good defensive fighter. We all knew this. Gary Russell's an Olympic-level fighter. He's a world-class fighter, one of the best fighters on the planet. He really is.
There's still people saying – oh, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was saying, but, you know, he didn't win it last night. He's out for 2 months, or he's out for 2 years. He's training himself. All this stuff is going to catch you.
There's still people saying – that he injured the shoulder during the fight.
No.
When he said he went into the fight injured. I mean, he said he had a torn tendon in his left shoulder. Because I think I have a torn tendon.
Yeah.
Which is probably worse. I don't know if the guy's telling you he went into the fight injured. And then during the fight, they go over to his corner. And they ask him, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. And then someone from the broadcast team went over and asked, is anything wrong?
It was Gray. What's his name?
Jim Gray went over,
Gray.
Right? And you know what he says? Oh, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. Let Gary tell you what's wrong after the fight. So what does that mean? Like there's something wrong, but you don't want to tell us now. You're going to wait till after the fight. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't get it, man. I really don't get it.
Lennox thinks that he injured. Can you help this guy out, Eric?
All right, I'm going to tell you this. He said before the broadcast he was injured. That's what he said. So then we have to take him at his word, all right? Because that's what he said, right?
And then he said after the fight he went into the fight with a bad shoulder.
Right. He said from the Olympics. So this is what he said after the fight.
Are you just trying to argue for this? You know what? I gotta ignore him, man. This is just like trolling now at this point. This is high school stuff.
And he's right. Lennox is right. I did see him flinch in that fight. You saw him. I think it was right around that fourth round. He flinched in that fight. So he injured it. Maybe he tore it. Maybe he tore it some more. Maybe he did what it, he injured
but
it
again,
some more. But again, you were injured before coming in here.
Here's the thing.
You know the risks.
Here's the thing. It was damaged enough where at some point it was going to happen. The painkiller was going to wear off. The adrenaline rush was going to wear off, and that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, the painkiller, the adrenaline, whatever was happening.
He was injured enough. That shoulder was he told you he had a torn tendon in his shoulder. What are you not understanding? He should not have fought last night.
No. Wouldn't you be irritated if you bought that fight, if you went there and then found this out, that he wasn't 100%?
And then he goes like, exactly, Eric. And then he said this was an injury from 2008 that I should have gotten surgery on. That's a minor. I don't understand. Like,
well, let's put it this way. He had plenty of time to get surgery on it because he wasn't fighting.
Why am I even – I got to stop talking to this kid. I'm losing brain cells as I'm talking to this kid. Like this is cognitive. He had a slight niggle probably. Whatever you want to believe. Just take, again, just be the contrary.
Probably on pain meds. We're going off what he said. You're going off.
He told you he had a torn tendon.
Something that only exists in your mind.
There's no way it's not going to get worse. I don't know what to say about to you, man.
Again, we only know what he told us, and we have to go on his word.
That was not a minor injury, bro. It's been injured since 2000. Oh, I feel that. Oh my God. Can I donate?
Call in.
Can I donate some money to you or something, man? Like you need some help, bro.
Yeah. He said Gary had the injury in his back pocket for over 12 years. Yeah, how is that possible, you know? I mean, really, like, you know, again, you had it since 2008. Again, why didn't you get this fixed? You had plenty of time.
It's the same thing with Sergio Martinez and Yuri Foreman. They shouldn't have fought when Yuri Foreman fought Miguel Cotto when he had that knee, that torn meniscus in his knee and the torn ACL in his knee, right? He went in there and it was wrapped up, but as soon as he started moving around, after a while it gave out on him because he went in there compromised.
Yep.
He didn't – of course it's going to get worse over the course of the 12-round period or whatever. And then Cotto didn't even hit him in the face anymore. He just started hitting him in the body because he felt bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, you know.
Lennox was best. You said that he only made $100,000 for the Nigel Benn fight. It's on record that he made $250,000. You lied. Okay? And you're saying that was his highest payday, Gerald McClellan, when he fought Nigel Benn. When he was the B-side, he wasn't the champion. He moved up a weight class and he went over to the UK. And you're saying that $250,000 was his highest payday. And that $20 million, I don't believe he was worth $20 million, but that's what the website said. So, again, we can't be hypocrites here. You're trying to say that Nigel Benn fight was his highest payday when he had two fights with Gerald McClellan, and one of those fights he was the headliner and Chavez was the co-main and he was the champion. And you're telling me that he made more money as the B-side going over to the UK as a challenger. The guy made $1.5 million in his career. In 1995, he's not poverty level, bro. He made some good money. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and, you know, I'll tell you what, Gary Russell has been squawking about Leo Santa Cruz. He's been squawking about Tank Davis, Terrence Crawford. He's been trying to get, you know, listen, and at the end of the day, he's not going to get a big payday. He's just not. It's not in the cards for him anymore. He lost this fight. What is he going to rematch? Maybe he rematches Mexio, you know, who in another year or two, whatever his schedule fits in. Listen, you know, Gary Russell doesn't deserve a big payday. He just doesn't. You can't fight once a year, Beeb, and expect a giant payday. Nobody knows you.
No.
You know what I mean? You've got to keep your name out there. It just is. That's the way it works. You know? Try to set up a fight with Ryan Garcia. That'll take place in 3 years. You know? I mean, like I said, it's just you cannot show yourself once every few years, defend your title against somebody who's non-recognizable to the average fan, and then expect a giant payday. It doesn't work that way. Activity will get you paid. You know?
I agree.
Dolomite says, most fans are missing the real point that WBC belt doesn't leave PBC Island. It's still being held hostage by Al Heyman. Listen, I don't care who it's being held hostage by. It's not being held hostage anymore. Look, because I know Maxiah will fight. I don't care who he fights. I don't care if it's PBC or not. I don't care. I really could care less, you know. But, you know, at least we're going to see the guy defend his title.
Look at everyone cry about this title, man. Like for some reason, they want this to be a close fight. I just don't think it was close.
Jerome Hall, how did you have the fight score? What was your scorecard? And all you guys in the chat, if you guys are watching right now and everything like that, make sure to hit the like button. Go ahead and hit the like button and everything like that. Let's get those likes up. Yeah, so I'd be real interested to see scorecards here who had the fight close, you know. Jerome Hall said the guy was hurt and fought like a warrior. 100%. Absolutely agree with you. Absolutely agree with you.
But he shouldn't have fought.
But you don't win fights. You don't win rounds. fighting like a warrior. You don't win fights fighting like a warrior. You have to win round. You have to go out there and actually win the round.
He should have even fought, man.
Have we not given this guy his respect, Steve? Have I not given this guy his respect? We've absolutely given him
my
respect.
My only problem is he said he had a minor injury going into the fight, and it wasn't. It was more than minor. That's all.
Yeah. That's the thing.
And admit, admit the fact that he misled the public, and he was very deceptive, and he went into the fight basically a one-armed fighter against a legitimate top 10 guy, right? So I mean, he shouldn't have took the fight. Shouldn't have took the fight.
Sly tendencies 8-4 all day. Listen, I can, you know, yeah, all right. I mean, I can go along with that. I thought it was even wider than that. But
at the best, it was 8-4 in my opinion.
Best. I don't know how you could get like a 7-5. At 8-4 is even pushing that end. How do you get a draw? Yeah, I thought they were going to rob him last night. I really did. When I heard those scorecards, I said, you got to be kidding me.
He couldn't hit shit with a one-armed fighter.
Who?
But what did that one-armed fighter do?
he landed, guys, I'll say it again, he landed 69 punches. 69. That's it. Again, on what island?
Six punches around.
Do you win a fight landing 69 punches? And again, you think about this. Again, that fifth round where he landed four punches, he got two of the three judges' scorecards in that round. McSayo outlanded them 20-4. Somehow Russell walks away with that round? What?
Even Jim Gray asked him, why did he take the fight? Why did he take a fight of this magnitude knowing he was injured? You know what his response was? I'm a warrior. And again, that's fine.
I get it.
But
I get
you,
it.
You
but
were,
again,
you were
there's
not,
a lot more on the line than just you here, you know?
You were not in condition to win that fight.
Ronald Finkley hits it right on the head. It's hard to knock out with two hands, much less one. He's right. It's hard to not, you know, like, these are professional top-level champion fighters, man. World-class fighters. You know how hard it is to most of you guys don't know what it's like to get in there and spar or anything like that. Most of you guys don't know this. All that stuff that you see professionals do when they knock people out cold and stuff like that, you know how difficult that is?
Yes.
You know how difficult that is?
Yes.
It's a hard thing to do. And then you're asking McSayo to knock this guy out, this one-handed fighter out, who's a world-class defensive fighter. Not an easy thing to do. Not an easy thing to do at all, man.
Well, I'm going
to
pull up these punch stats real quick. Well, I'm going to just take a look at these.
Yeah, I got them up here. Let me see if I can do this.
And like I said, I think McSayo let up on him. I really do. I'll be honest. Here's the punch stats here. Take a look.
Yeah, punches. Total punches landed. Russell landed 69 punches. McSayo landed 150. Russell threw 323 punches. McSayo threw 543. He threw more, landed at a higher percentage, was the busier fighter. Gary Russell landed 11 jabs. McSayo landed 10. He threw 203-64. Power shots landed, power throw, 140 for McSayo, 58 for Russell.
Eric. I said he threw five jabs in round four.
Mm-hmm.
He only threw two. I was wrong.
Wow.
And he threw one jab in round five, right? So he was essentially a one-armed fighter after the third round.
And let's look at these rounds, okay? Again, in that fifth round, 20-4. In the seventh round, it was 16-4, McSayo. In the 11th round, 12-2, McSayo. First round, 11-5. Second round, 8-16. He outlanded them. There wasn't a round. There was not, and that's telling to me too, there was not one single round not one single round that Gary Russell outlanded Magsayo. Not one. Again, I'll ask you again, on what planet does Gary Russell get
round,
that decision?
Round three was probably the only clear round he won, if you think about it. Round three, you could
And I gave him the round. I gave Gary, that's the only round I gave Gary Russell.
Round eight was pretty close.
And you don't win, you know, and he landed a couple of clean shots, a couple of clean left hands. But you can't win a round just hitting him with one left hand, and that's it in the round.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, again, I respect everyone's scorecard. I just didn't think the fight was close.
No, not even a little.
I had it 9-3.
Yeah. I had it 11-1. I gave Gary Russell literally one round. One round.
I gave him rounds 3, 8, and 9.
I gave him 3.
I probably shouldn't even have given him round 9.
Yeah, round 9? Round 9, it was close, 5-8. And then, what did you say, 3-9 and what? 3, 8, and 9?
Yeah, round 12 was close, too.
Yeah, 7 and 8.
I didn't give him 12. All three judges gave him round 12. I don't have a problem with someone giving him 12.
No, I don't have a problem with that either.
You know? But I think Steve Farhad gave him, like, rounds 4.
I don't know what Farhad is. Why. I don't know
How do you give him round 4? He didn't do anything in round 4.
Right. I have no idea what Farhad was watching.
How do people give him round 4?
He got outlanded 14-7 in that round.
Yeah, I don't
know. You know, and again, we're not, I mean, when I, you know, I'm watching the fight and I'm like, maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm not, you know, after the fight, I'm thinking, wow, it was really close. Maybe I didn't see anything. Then I pulled up those numbers. I'm like, my God, this wasn't close at all. This was a statistical whitewash.
This
wasn't close.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're going to be outlanded by that much, and people could say, well, it's not always the quantity that's landed, it's the quality.
You got to land more than one quality punch around.
I don't think he was snapping Maxayo's head back or stunning him or hurting him. There was no flashy punches he was landing.
I don't think Maxayo didn't get hurt in that fight.
No, and Maxayo hurt Russell a few times in that fight.
Yeah, I thought so too. I know
Maxayo's taking a lot of heat. How do you let a guy hang in there? But I really think he let up on him.
I do too.
Once you start, I think he felt bad for him that he, I don't want to, you know, beat up a one-armed guy, take him out. He felt bad for him.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think, Sly Tendencies, thank you so much. He said, Gary is his own worst enemy. The man hasn't fought in 2 years and is taking fights injured. Now he's on some Teal crap saying he won 10-2. Yeah, right. Sly Tendencies is 100% right here. You know?
I'm not going to insult the guy. I'm not going to kick a guy when he's down, but I don't like the fact, and I'm going to keep hammering this home, that he said he was slightly injured when he knew he wasn't slightly injured. This was a serious injury.
Right. If he needs surgery for it, I would say that's a serious injury, no?
And then he's had this injury since 2008. But then you got people in the chat saying, oh, he injured it on the fight. It was a little – come on, stop.
Right.
Stop.
You know, listen, and Jerome early on was right. Gary Russell deserves all the credit in the world for stepping in there. I don't have anything. My problem, and Gary Russell's going to say he's going to win whether he won or lost, whatever. But my problem is with anybody else saying that Gary Russell won this fight, and especially as close as that judging was. There's no way that should have been that close. No way.
I don't think he won the fight.
No, not even close. Let's talk about the co-main here. Subriel Matias versus Petros Anayan. It was 12 rounds, junior welterweights, Matias, and the rematch stops Anayan in the ninth round. Just okay for me, nothing major. It was a good fight, good scrap, but
yeah, it was very entertaining.
Entertaining. Wasn't bad.
This was a solid card last night. I have no complaints with
it. Yeah, it wasn't too bad. And full disclosure here, I'm watching both. I've got the UFC on my laptop, and I'm watching the fights on TV. And right after Gary Russell fights, I'm watching the main event of the UFC. So, you know, we'll watch kind of both. The Tuxton Niambar and Sicaria Lucas, this was, again, one that I was in and out watching. Niambar and Lucas battled to a 10-round draw. Scores were 96-94 for each fighter and 95-95. In the eighth round, Lucas appeared to drop Niambar, but the ref called it a slip. If it's a knockdown, Lucas wins that fight. B, was that a knockdown?
Yes, it was.
I kind of thought it was too. I kind of thought
they need,
it was
they need,
too.
They need to do instant replay.
They did. And I thought they did do an instant replay. And the guy, even after seeing it, said, slip. Like, he just doubled down on it like you're seeing it. People are afraid to make, you know, to admit they make a mistake, man. I don't
understand.
It's
embarrassing. Some people don't want to just, you know. But again, you know, it's hard seeing things real time.
Right.
I mean, I miss things all the time.
Absolutely. It is difficult.
Instant replay is very helpful, even to fans. That's why they used it.
Right.
You know?
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. Hit that like button. Yeah, Gary Russell was calling out Devin Haney. He's calling out everybody, you know. The thing is, man, it's like, again, you're not going to get those fights. He's not going to get those fights because he probably wants like an astronomical amount of money for those fights. And he doesn't deserve it. He just doesn't. You know, he could say he's been a champion for 6 years, the longest reigning champion. Right? Boy, yeah, when you fight once a year, you can make that claim. You know, if you're fighting twice a year, three times a year. I mean,
yeah,
give him something. I mean,
He's calling out Tank. I don't see him winning that.
He doesn't deserve a Tank fight. He doesn't. He just doesn't.
Yeah, but I could pitch a Tank fight. I could pitch a Tank fighting him.
If I was Tank, I'd fight him. Why not? You know, but not if he's going to, you know, not if he wants 50-50. Because Tank will offer him like 70-30 or 80-20, which is probably along the lines of what he deserves, honestly. So, there you go. Speaking of the UFC, we were watching the UFC last night. Francis Ngannou versus Ciryl Gane. This was a big, big fight, man. Francis Ngannou, this was the last fight on the contract for Francis on the UFC. And Ciryl Gane was expected to win this fight, ended up losing the fight by a split decision, or actually unanimous decision, 3-2. So we'll see what happens here. But the reason I bring this up is Ngannou wants to face Tyson Fury in a boxing match. His UFC contract is up, so he's going to leave. He could ultimately leave the UFC with a belt. I mean, basically leave the heavyweight champion and just kind of leave them in limbo. He wants to fight Tyson Fury. He's not going to beat Tyson Fury. He's not going to come close. And I know, like, the UFC fans and everything like that think that he might have a chance because he's got big power and he can land a big shot and everything. He's not going to touch Tyson Fury. That's a bad, bad idea.
Yeah, but I think if they fight, it'll be kind of like an exhibition type thing. I don't think Tyson Fury will go out there. It'll be like a sparring session, I think.
Yeah, he was tired. You watched Ngannou last night. He was tired. He couldn't land those shots, but he ended up wrestling. And they're wrestling to get the win, which everybody was shocked by. So there you go. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Not much on the docket here. January 27th, which is, I believe, Wednesday or Thursday. It's one of those. I think it's Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. From Madrid, Spain, and B, there is no TV on this, thank God. Sergio Martinez, yes, he's still fighting, versus Macaulay McGowan, 10 rounds middleweights. What in the world?
Yeah.
I worry
for him.
My guess is that they're not putting him in with anybody like too crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But what is he doing? Is he on like that Foreman plan where he's going to fight a bunch of guys just to get, you know, to kind of get back into shape or whatever, and then fight a top rated guy? Or what's he? I don't understand. What is he doing?
I hope they don't let him fight a top-rated guy, to be honest with you.
No.
I hope not.
No, it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. January 29th, which I believe is a Friday or Saturday, I don't know. I don't know. It's January 29th, all right? Just look it up. Robinson Cassao versus Xavier Martinez. This is going to be on ESPN Plus, 10 rounds from Tulsa, Oklahoma. 10 rounds junior lightweights. Rene Telez-Garon versus Luis Mendez, 10 rounds junior lightweights, and Nico Walsh Ali versus Jeremiah Yeager, 4 rounds middleweight.
Fighter, man.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, he's related. He's actually the grandson of Muhammad Ali. And I wanted to tell you guys, because it's not like they'll mention that on the broadcast a billion times. So there you go. Another one that's not televised this weekend is in Warren, Ohio. Elunga Jr. Makabu, the guy who's supposed to fight Canelo next, which I don't think he's going to fight Canelo next. But anyway, Makabu versus Tommaso Mchunu, and Chunu, 12 rounds for McAboo's WBC cruiserweight title. Trevor Bryan versus Jonathan Guidry, 12 rounds for Bryan's WBA regular heavyweight title. The fact that he has a regular, the fact that he's considered a heavyweight champion blows my mind. But it is the WBA. So what are you going to do? So, yeah, Beeb. So that's a Don King card. And,
how are the tickets going? Are those tickets moving? Or
I don't believe
think?
They are. I don't believe they priced them high. They priced them way high. I think.
Well, how much are the ringside? How much are the ringside?
$500, and they're not really ringsides. You know, like there's one section it looks like that was ringside. The rest of the sections were like blocked or sold, or they weren't sold, but I don't know if they were being held or maybe they'll be released or whatever. I don't know, but I know that there was only like one ringside area, right? And then it's like a it's like a small little auditorium type place because they hold concerts there and everything like that. It's not a big, it's a small, you know, Packard Music Hall. It's like a music
yeah.
hall, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
then they have like you have the ring area, right? And then with some seats around there, and then there's like a wall, and then there's like upper seats, you know, like where the upper seating starts. And there's really not much difference between, like, the $500 seats, because you will pay $500 for that upper row of seats, mm-hmm. and then the $80 seats, because there's not, like, a huge, you know. What does it hold? I think it only holds, like, a couple thousand.
Oh, so it
doesn't hold.
Place,
yeah. A small place.
Are you going or no?
No. No. 100% no. No. Not for that. Not for the price of that. No way. No, it's just too. It was way too much money, and I could have got in. I could have got in on the first, but again, it's about 4 hours away. It's up in by Youngstown.
Oh, so it's so to drive then.
It's still 4 hours away, and then you say, eh, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? All right. Before we go any further, we talk about the Anthony Joshua thing. Let's talk about Manscaped here. All right, Beeb, this is our favorite topic.
Favorite topic.
My favorite topic, anyway. Talking about Manscaped here. Cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about upgrading your grooming routine for the new year? Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to make the ball drop into 2022 the cleanest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code RingsideReporter, RingsideReporter, that's one word, RingsideReporter, for 20% off plus free shipping. It's a new year, new me, with the global leaders in male grooming. This year, take your grooming to the next level with their Performance Package 4.0 and brand new Ultra Premium Body Wash. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the Signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks all over. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land in 2022. Have wild hairs coming out of the nose or ear? Well, Manscaped can solve that problem, too, with the Weed Whacker. The nose and ear hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks and snags. Polish off your new stellar routine with free gifts, including the Manscaped Shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. I love the boxer briefs, by the way. They're the greatest. And the new product that needs no introduction, the Ultra Premium Body Wash from Manscaped, solves all three for the perfect addition to your daily grooming routine. But in the shower, the body wash smells great too. The cologne infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. Kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb this year with the best tools for the job. Whether your resolution is to work out more or travel to new places, be sure to travel to manscaped.com for our exclusive offer of 20% off plus free shipping with the code RingsideReporter. Cheers to grooming with the best in 2022. Again, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code RingsideReporter at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code RingsideReporter. It's a new year, new me in 2022 with Manscaped. Guys, this is actually pretty important here. So, it's great. Again, we love likes. We love super chats. We love all that stuff. But if you really want to help us out, go buy some product from Manscaped. You get 20% off, and it's all good stuff. Even I can attest to this. It's all good stuff. That body wash is great.
I was just about to say, man, I've been using that body wash, and the honey dips love it. They love it,
right? It's great. It smells good. It does. It smells great. You know? Not only that, you got the boxers. All their stuff is solid. All their stuff is really good stuff.
I love that body wash, man. I'm using it right now. It's so good.
And, you know, it's funny because, like, a lot of people will say, well, you're just, you know, you're a sponsor. We use the stuff. We use the stuff all the time. So that's the thing, man. I wouldn't tell you the stuff if we didn't use it ourselves. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And it really, really helps us out. It really does. Thank you so much, Corey Lee. Awesome show. Corey Lee Boxing will call in. Hashtag ice season. How much you want to bet Corey Lee picked Max Io to win? Just saying. All right. Caller of the year, 530, ringside, Robert.
Hello, fucking guys.
Hey, Robbie. What's up, brother?
Not much. And look, I have no sympathy whatsoever for the hostage holder known as Gary Russell.
Come on. Robbie, you've got a family. He's going through a rough time.
Come on, brother.
What's the matter with you?
I don't care about that.
That's harsh. That's too harsh.
How'd you score the fight, Robbie? How did you miss the fire cabinet?
I had it 10-2.
See, Robert had it 10-2. I had it 11-1. You can't give him any rounds, man. I'm telling you.
What round did you give Russell?
I gave him the third, and I gave him the eighth.
Wow.
Yeah, I gave him the third, too.
I thought about giving him the ninth. I gave him the ninth because I started feeling bad for him.
The Beeb gave him a sympathy round, too, man. But ninth was pretty close.
Yeah.
Nacho wants to know, Robert, if Gary Russell needs to retire.
No, what he needs to do, number one, go get surgery. Dan, don't tell everybody you had the injury since 2008. Get surgery and take your fucking career seriously or get the hell out of the business.
Wow.
Robbie, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Doing the best he can, Robert.
Would you consider that a minor injury last night?
Fuck no.
So he really had no business being in the ring last night, right?
No.
That injury, correct?
And what I love about the whole thing is he admitted to Jim Gray after the fight. Not only did he say, oh, I've had this since 2008, he said, I re-injured it 2 weeks before the fight, and I decided to go ahead and fight anyway because I'm
That's
a warrior.
That's the worst, the absolute worst.
How does he say he's injured before the fight and the commission not ask him to be more specific? How do they go in and ask him for information and have him reveal exactly what's wrong with him? How does this get slipped through the cracks is what I'm saying.
Okay, I've got a serious question for both of you because you both have been at fights. You know how these things work. How soon before the fight do they actually put the fighters through the physical examinations?
Fight week. I believe it's like 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, it's usually
prior to the weigh-in. I believe it's prior to the weigh-in.
I think it's like 2 days before. It's actually 2 days before the fight.
Yeah.
Then my question is, did PBC pay a doctor off to not have this reported? Because if he's saying he's got a torn tendon and he's got this and he's got that, how is this not picked up by a doctor?
The physical they go through, it's not like – like he's going to John Hopkins and getting a thorough workup.
They have to fill out
a pre-fight medical questionnaire.
Yes.
And they're asked if they have any injuries or anything's bothering them going into this fight. And if so, it's like when you go to a doctor's office.
Yeah.
Do you have any level of pain right now?
Right. Exactly.
Is anything bothering you? You know.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, the two worst examples I can remember of this was, you know, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, when Pacquiao admitted that he had the shoulder injury, and he went ahead and went through his fight. And then how about Sergio Martinez? He fights Miguel Cotto with his knee all tore up, and that's why he got knocked down 3 times in the first round.
I mean, these commissions got to do a better job, man. They can't be letting these guys go into fights like this. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get hurt. Like I told Eric, what if that was Tank Davis in there fighting a Gary Russell with one arm? What would have happened?
Oh, I guarantee you Tank would have obliterated him. It would. They might have had to pick up the pieces after Tank was done with him, okay? And I do agree with you. I'm glad that McSaya won, but he took it easy last night. They had no killer instinct. He didn't go in for the kill. He saw he had a crippled fighter and just decided to go the full 12 rounds. When you've got 16 When you've got 16 knockouts in 23 fights, use your skills and get the guy out of there.
Well, that's easier said than done. I mean, that's easier said than done. Again, man, it's... You know, it's hard to get a guy out of there. It's hard to hurt a guy.
Eric, I know he's a defensive fighter, but when he's fighting with one hand, he could have done more damage than what he succeeded on doing. That's my point.
Let me jump in here. MEZ Box says, I guess he says that 11-1, shaking my head. You know, he says that Gary Russell would wash McSaya in a rematch. Blah blah blah. How did you, I'm interested, MEZ Box, how did you have the fight scored? I want to know how you had the fight scored. What was your scorecard? Because I bet he's one of those guys. I wonder if he's one of those guys that had to fight close or he had Gary Russell winning this fight like a crazy.
Well, how many people in the chat are going to admit that they had to fight close?
I don't know. I don't know. I'd be real curious.
Here's the thing. Here's the poll. Here's the results of the poll.
Yeah, what was the results of that? 51 votes.
Was Russell McSaya close? 62% said no. 38% said yes.
Close. Wasn't close, guys.
Okay. No, it was not.
Be More Scientific said that I thought it was close, didn't score it, but McSaya was missing most of his shots. He was.
And Gary Russell was missing most of his shots. You know why?
Gary Russell wasn't throwing anything.
Because he didn't throw anything.
Right.
So.
Louis Reyes says he's wrong about the Bengals. Robert, what did you think of the Bengals this weekend?
Actually, I am very happy for Cincinnati. I didn't think they would win, but they pulled it off. And you know what? As a Raiders fan, I'm furious. That could have been us yesterday. But congratulations to the Bengals because – full disclosure, when the Raiders played the Bengals, me and Eric talked during the football game, and we said whoever won the game would go in and beat Tennessee, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, Robert.
Yeah. So next week, Robert and I, and we're going to talk to Beam, see if he wants to get on this too, we're going to do an AFC-NFC championship preview game. We're not sure if we're going to do it Saturday or Sunday, but we want to do a preview game of those two games coming up, the AFC Championship.
Remember,
will be Cincinnati and somebody else. But
remember, it will be 3:05 Eastern and 6:40 Eastern next Sunday for the game. So we'll have to figure out if you want to do it Sunday morning or do it on Saturday.
All right. Well, we got plenty of time to talk about that.
That's right.
All right, Robert. We're going to get running here, man. Stay on hold. We're going to go to 804. Who's 804? Is that Corey?
I think it's Corey.
I don't know who it is. 804, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing tonight?
Corey Lee. Boxing. Did you have McSaya winning that fight last night, Corey? Did you predict that?
No.
He had a draw.
No.
You have it a draw, Corey?
No, man.
How did you watch it? How did you score that fight, man? Come on. How did you score that fight, man? Come on.
Were you watching it while you were
watching it? You were giving him rounds, weren't you? He was like, I feel bad for Gary Russell. I'm going to give him these rounds.
I picked Gary Russell to win. I picked Gary Russell to win by a six-round knockout. And I was off, man. Damn, man, I was off, you know. So, I mean, I picked Gary Russell to win, but, you know, like B's said, you know, me and B's on the same boat. He told you to put money down on Maxeo, but then he also told you to pick Gary Russell. So I could, you know, I see where the B's
he
the
came out on both
there.
Sides.
Yeah.
That's how he does it. That's how they do it. Like, you know, when you call up for the football plays, they'll give
Russell
half the people one team,
thoughtful.
They'll give the other half the other team. Ameasy Box had it a draw. He had it 114-114.
What rounds did Gary Russell
what, yeah, what rounds did you give Gary Russell, Ameasy?
Tell us what your scorecard was. What round did you give Gary Russell? I'm dying to hear this one.
I swear to God, if you gave Gary Russell that fifth round, you'll never be on this channel again.
Well, I gave him round three, four, five.
I see a lot of YouTube channels are saying it's a Gary Russell robbery. Like, he got robbed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I saw that too. Like, stop it.
Oh, my God.
You know,
man.
Numerous
YouTube not a robbery.
Channels are saying that.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, yeah, I really want to talk about the fight that happened actually before the Gary Russell Jr. fight, and it was the Sabril fight.
Yeah, man,
that fight actually kind of is some way linked to me. I mean, because I was at the fight where him and Dedichev fight. I was front row. I was media press row. It was my first press credential fight for Corey Lee Boxing. And, you know, I was out there with Fight Hype and Fighter IQ, and I was telling them guys on Media Press Row they need to stop the fight. And, you know, later on, Dedichev wound up passing away, and Sabril was the one that did it. And so, you know, fast forward four more fights later, you know, he's been put in there tough. This guy, this is his second time fighting this guy, Ananian. And, you know, the first fight could be Fighter of the Year candidate. It was on the Wilder versus Tyson Fury 2 undercard. And it was a really, really, really fan-friendly fight. Both guys, you know, pretty much in the third round on up, pretty much threw the defense out the window. And, yeah, man, both guys were getting hit hard with very, very hard shots. And in the first fight, Sabril got hurt in the seventh round. He won the first six rounds, I think. And in the seventh round, he got hurt, and it changed the fight completely after that. And then Ananian won. Okay, Sabril was 18 at this time of this fight coming up. He was 17-1 with 17 wins, but all by way of knockout. And so I think he's a very, very powerful puncher and a thudding puncher because I was listening to his punches very, very close, and he just has a lot of power for that 140-pound division. And so in the rematch, what happened last night was he was implementing his game plan like he did the first time. And I really think that the first fight took a lot out of Ananian. And, you know, I just think, you know, he just got battered a lot and it took a lot out of him. But make a long story short, in the ninth round, they stopped it. You know, Sabril won. But I was telling Biebs earlier, Eric, you know, how much, you know, this guy's a young, hungry prospect. He's only about 24, 25 years old. He's 18-1 with 18 wins by way of knockout. His last four fights have been tough fights, man. And I'm talking about 8, 9, 10 round bangers, all just, you know, guns to the wall, just, you know, all out, man. And I just want to know, like, how, like, with, you know, you and Biebs, like, how long do you think a fighter can keep getting matched in tough like that?
Not long, man. I mean, you don't want to. I mean, if you're his manager, you don't want that. You know, you can get him a couple, but not like that. Not when it's constant like that. It's hard. You know, it's hard on the fighter. It just is.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard
much.
To be. It's too much. Yeah, you got to get him some breaks here, man.
What about you, Biebs?
I already told you. I told you this afternoon about it. You asked me the question again.
Well, I mean, the people might not have seen the show earlier.
They didn't see it. Yeah, come on, B. What are you doing? He said, they just watch our programming 24/7. You know. I mean, they don't ever put YouTube down, son.
Yo,
I mean,
here's
the thing, man. You got to be strategic with this matchmaking. You know, you can't keep facing the iron back to back, man.
Yeah,
that's the way it is.
100%.
All right, man. Come on.
All right, Corey, yeah, we're gonna get running here, man. We're talking about this Anthony Joshua situation. You too, man. Make sure to see Corey Lee Boxing on YouTube. Check him out, man. He's got a great channel. And MEZ Box said, if the fight was the way you guys had it, why was Freddie Roach screaming at McSayo in the corner?
Because McSayo was letting up on him, and he was telling him, don't let up on him. That's why.
And what was he going to tell him? You're winning the fight? You know what I mean? Trainers don't do that. Trainers don't – you know what I'm saying? Like, they want you to keep that pressure on.
I'm done, man.
I can to keep that pressure on. That's what they do.
I'm done, man. I can't even talk about it anymore. I can't even go back and forth with these people in the chat, man.
Oh, that's cold blooded, man.
I don't know. Something's brewing in the chat, man. I don't know. It's a full moon out there somewhere.
A lot of people have got like strong feelings for Gary Russell, man.
I didn't know
he had it like that. I mean, I really didn't. I didn't know he had like that kind of fan.
A lot of fans, bro.
You know, listen, the guy's a warrior for getting in there hurt, but he got in there hurt and he got beat. So at the end of the day, what did he do you? Didn't do you any good.
All these people saying he got robbed, man. I don't get it.
No. 114, 142, that's crazy. And he still, like, hasn't gotten back to me with, you know, his card. You know, like, hey, what rounds did you
get? He ain't going to give you the card, man. He copied and pasted someone else. Man, if you thought the fight was, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna scorecard shame people, but don't.
We always scorecard shame like people. Like we both do.
No, but here's the thing. Don't come at me. They're coming at us because we're saying the fight's not close.
That's right.
They started it. You know what I'm saying?
That's that. You know what? That's it. You're right.
You said, guys, I just disagree with you. I thought it was close. They're like saying, oh, what do you mean it wasn't close? Oh, how could you have it 9-3? 11-1, 10-2. It is what it is, man.
Yeah, hand reps. He says, I really like Gary Russell, but wasn't close. And he's right. Wasn't close at all, man. All right, let's talk about the news and rumors here. So this literally came up 1 hour before our show came on. I looked it up, and it was the article just came out. I just got a tweet about it. Somebody tweeted me about it. Maybe it was Tommy Boxeo tweeted me about it. It says here, Anthony Joshua is taking step-aside money. Gareth Davies from the UK is reporting that Anthony Joshua is close to accepting a £15 million. So what is that, about $20 million? Step-aside fee to let Usyk and Fury fight happen. All right. Now, this is from the article, and I'm going to read you a little some excerpts of the article here. Anthony Joshua is close to accepting a £15 million step-aside fee that would pave the way for Alexander Usyk to fight Tyson Fury in an undisputed heavyweight title bout in the Middle East. The former champion is now open to accepting the deal of a step-aside after a weekend of protracted talks among boxing's movers and shakers delivered hopes of a breakthrough. The Principality Stadium in Cardiff has also been reserved for the Fury fight to take place on March 26th. Described as chaos and a mess by Fury's U.S. promoter Bob Arum, nothing official has come from Joshua's management team. Nor indeed has the Londoner announced his new training team after visiting the several renowned American gyms. But as promoter Eddie Hearn suggested last week that boxing fans could, quote, expect the unexpected in the coming weeks as the situation is resolved for spring. If Joshua accepts the financial step-aside deal rather than go ahead with his rematch, it would almost certainly be expected that the Londoner would face the Fury Usyk winner. So that makes sense. So, like, if he takes a step-aside money, then he would be, fighting the winner of that fight. The problem is, when I read the article, and as you just listened to a lot of the article, there is absolutely zero concrete evidence to suggest that AJ is going to take that step-aside money. Now, Gareth Davies is usually pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows his stuff. He's better than a lot of guys over here. So I wouldn't discount it, but there was nothing in that article that was factual saying that this is going to happen, this could happen, anything like that. other than maybe what he knows that he can't divulge. You know what I'm saying?
If it was Mike Coppinger, I would say bullshit. But here's the thing.
It's
even
an odd article
said,
to write. It's an odd article to write, especially when there was no meat in that article.
And even Eddie said that it was on the table. He didn't dismiss it when he was asked about it a couple weeks ago. Like, so he goes, well, we're not ruling that out.
$21 million. $21 million U.S. dollars.
Who's putting that up?
I don't know. If it's going to take place in the Middle East, you know, it's got to be something there. But a lot of fights, Beeb, are purported to take place in the Middle East that never take place in the Middle East.
Like the Fury AJ fight, like I told you guys, wasn't going to happen.
The Klitschko fight was supposed to take place on a boat somewhere. Remember that? Some billionaire wanted to put him on a boat and fight or something like that. And I don't know. Davies, Gareth Davies is really good, and he's a lot more reliable than Mike Coppinger, put it that way. The Sun in the UK is also apparently reporting this, but the Sun most likely got it from Gareth Davies. So you know how, like, a paper will report it, and then another paper will report it, and they just basically take the article and say, and they reference the article. I've never read the Sun article, but I would assume that's the case, since Gareth Davies is the one that's, you know, wrote the article.
Yeah.
And he is juiced in pretty well over there. I mean, he's not like Coppinger. He's juiced in very well over there. And he's usually, and even the chat has alluded to it too, he's usually pretty right on about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, he's juiced in with those guys over there. So it'll be interesting, Beeb, if this does happen. Let's just say it does happen. Number one, I think it's unprecedented, a $21 million step aside. Deal.
Yeah, I'm suspecting maybe Saudi may have something to do with that.
The Sun is a British tabloid. Tony Ayo said the Sun is a British tabloid. I getcha, but the Telegraph is not a British tabloid. The Telegraph is where the story actually originated.
Yeah.
So, Adam Beanie Smith said Gareth Davis is close to the Fury camp, so maybe he's been tipped off with something. Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, he is close.
That's what I'm assuming, that he's been tipped off, because again, if you go and read that article, which if you go and read the Telegraph article, you'll have to, you know, you'll have to subscribe to it and go through that whole rigmarole. I mean, there's ways to get around it, but whatever. You know, but you'll have to subscribe to it or whatever to read the article. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money on it. The bottom line is, you know, the article really doesn't say much. You know what I'm saying? There's no real substance in that article. There was no real quotes. There was quotes, but nothing that I didn't read. Everything that I read you here,
there was no
the
confirmation
gist of that article. There was nothing to that article.
No confirmation.
So, for a guy like Gareth Davis to say, "Hey, this is going to happen" or "This is close," I think you gotta take it with more than a grain of salt. My opinion.
Yeah, I'm surprised Mike Coppinger hasn't blocked me yet, man. All the shit I talk about him. I call him
why
out.
Why would you rip on Coppinger like that?
I'm
going to have him
man.
On the show, and it's going to be awkward. You know what I mean? I'm going to have him on the show, and it's going to be awkward.
I'm going to hate him, man. When I fill up my W-2 at the end of the year, professional hater.
Drinking a haterade, baby. So, B, do you think, AJ, would you take that? He'd be stupid not to take $21 million,
you know,
right?
You know, it's funny. I believe, and I'm hearing that rumors that he left McCracken, right? Is that have you heard that too?
I have not, but I've also heard that he's not taken any. I mean, he came over here and did this tour in the U.S. and visited, you know, every boxing gym known to man and couldn't make a decision.
And I know Ronnie Shields told him he doesn't think he should go right into the rematch. That if he was to train him, that he would need more time with him.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this decision was influenced by Ronnie Shields, by what Ronnie Shields said, because
could have been. AJ's really smart. AJ's a really smart guy.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
really good at correcting his mistakes.
Because,
he really is. He's a harsh judge of himself.
Yeah, because Ronnie Shields said like if I'm gonna just revamp you, I'm gonna need 6 months with you. So I'm thinking. Because the rumors are that he's going with Ronnie Shields, and I'm just trying to piece this together. And again, it's not factual, but I do remember Ronnie Shields was interviewed and asked about, you know, how long would you need to get AJ ready, you know, would it be possible for you to get him ready for a rematch in April with Usyk? And he said, nah, I would need a good 6 months. I need a good 6 months with him just to get him to get acclimated to me and me get acclimated to him. So
yeah,
I'm wondering if that had any influence on the decision.
You know, yeah, I mean, it could for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Ronan7SV says, if this does play out, where does that leave White? Will White also get something? White's going to get Jack. White's going to get Jack, and you know why? Because White priced himself out of that other
fight.
Well,
because the WBC doesn't care about White. And then you just made matters worse for yourself by taking them to arbitration and threatening to sue them.
What a dummy.
Like they're going to go out of their way to do you any favors.
Yeah, he's done.
I'm sorry, brother, but if you want to fight for their title, you got to play ball, man. I'm sorry.
Either you fight for the title or you don't fight for the title. It's that simple.
I'm not defending WBC, but I mean.
Well, the other thing is like, hey, look, who's – nobody's exactly beating down Dillian White's door to fight him.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
He got knocked out a couple of fights ago. You know, listen, man, I think him and Wilder would be a good fight if Wilder wants to come back. I don't even know if Wilder does come back. Wilder's on the fence now talking about retirement. So, look, man, it is, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, this leaves Dillian White out in the cold, son. He ain't coming in.
Yeah.
So there you go. This week it was reported, I believe it was this week, Mario Barrios and Keith Thurman. We all knew it was going to be on pay-per-view, Beeb. Beeb, that pay-per-view is $74.95.
Well,
are you for real?
I've talked about this before, and everyone's like, why are they doing all these pay-per-views? And I said, it's not out of desire. It's out of necessity because they can't get the dates from the networks, and the networks aren't going to put up the money, and they're not going to give them the slots because they feel as though they could make more, you know, get more advertisement dollars and get more viewership from another event, right? They got football on now, pretty soon basketball playoffs will be starting and all this stuff, right? So again, they have no recourse but to put these fights on pay-per-view, right? But the thing is, should they be charging $74 for them? You know, that's the thing.
If you're gonna put
so many of them on, then you may have to adjust the price here, because if you did lower the price, you'd probably sell more of them.
For sure you would. Because, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be happy about buying that fight, but I'm not going to buy it at $75.
You would probably buy it at $50.
I would buy it at $50. I would kind of hold my nose and buy it at $50.
Just lower the price, man. Just lower the price a little bit.
You know, let me see here. If that undercard is terrible too, there's nothing on that undercard that makes me scream, hey, I want to buy this. You know,
yeah.
Like sometimes you'll have a good, you know, like a solid undercard, maybe not the greatest main event, but a solid undercard. You know, let me see if I can bring this up here. When is that? When did I say that fight is scheduled for? Okay, February 5th. Leo Santa Cruz on the undercard against Keenan Carbajal. Abel Ramos versus Josecito Lopez. Luis Neri versus Carlos Castro. Not interested. Abel Ramos, Jose, not interested. Not interested.
Yeah.
There's nothing on it. Leo Santa Cruz versus Keenan Carbajal. Not interested. Not even in the least. Not even a little bit interested.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously they can't get the dates, and they can't get the, you know, the commitment from the networks. They can't get the money from the networks, the guaranteed purses that these guys are going to want. So they have to, you know, shoulder some of the financial burden themselves and put it on pay-per-view. I get all that. All right, fine. Do something with the prices, man. Do something
crazy.
With the
prices. It's crazy.
It's outrageous.
Yeah, I can't do anything with that. You really can't.
You know,
it is. It's crazy.
$50. $50, man.
You'd sell a lot more, trust me.
A whole lot more.
All right. Let's see here. Sergey Kovalev finalizing a fight for March 12th against Meng Fanlong. Kovalev's a complete mess. I mean, this guy's a complete mess, right? He was set to return in April 2020 against Sullivan Barrera. COVID took it out, right? Kovalev's comeback fight was then booked for January 21st against Beck the Bully. Scrapped. Kovalev tested positive for synthetic testosterone. He tested positive on his B sample, too. Somebody told me he was cleared on that. Well, from what I read, that was his B sample that tested positive. Son, you don't test positive on a B sample unless you're guilty. There's no mistake. Once it's on the B sample, there is zero mistake.
Well, I've never seen a case where the A sample and B sample were different.
No. No, I mean, unless there's a legit lab mistake, then that B sample should come up
clear. Sure. Yeah, but I've never, I mean, again, I don't know if there has or has not been, but I haven't heard of it. So I'm just asking.
Well, they do. They pee in that jug, you know. They divide it up into an A and a B sample. It's the same specimen. Put them both in. One test pop. One, you get popped for one, they pull the other. They test that one. Like, hey, maybe we made a mistake. They pull that one. They don't even know which one is his. They're all based on numbers. They all got numbers. I don't even know that they have names on them. They have numbers associated with it. You don't even have your name on it. Not like they know, hey, this is Kovalev's P. Let's paint it. Nobody knows.
That's what I was trying to tell people when they were saying, oh, yeah, you know. These guys, they're paying people up, blah, 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 blah. What are they paying?
They're paying.
They don't even know where the fucking, what lab the shit's going to. They don't even, they don't even know.
More money by the fight not happening?
They don't even know who's working that day. Who are they going to pay off? Again, what is this, an episode of Ray Donovan or something? Like, who are they going to pay off?
Okay, Nacho says there were reports that Kovalev is suing Golden Boy for $2.5 million, which is correct, because Golden Boy refused to pay him for testing positive. Main Events is saying that he was cleared. Listen, it was his B sample. It was his B sample, right, for synthetic testosterone. And Golden Boy is suing him, or he's suing Golden Boy, I guess, for $2.5 million because he said it's like a breach of contract or something. Son, you ain't getting that money.
I don't think he's getting that money.
Nope. You can't get it. You ain't getting that money, son.
I don't think he's getting that money.
It's over with for you. It's over with. All right, who's 805? Let's see. One more call here. We jump
that
on.
Nacho?
805, you're live.
Yeah, guys, it's me. What's going on?
Nacho.
Wake up, Nacho. Come on.
Oh, stop it.
Hey, Beeb, don't start. Beeb, are we going to do part three? Because it just seems like you can't let go of the fact that I beat you twice in a row. I mean, come on.
You did beat you twice.
At some point,
Beeb,
you got to stop being
salty. I'm a hater, man. You know that. You know I'm a hater.
What about those bangles, Nacho? Huh?
Hey,
what
I got to give
bangles,
your boys
son?
Credit. I got to give your boys credit, Eric. They finally, you know, got to the AFC Championship game in first time in 34 years. But, hey, Joe Burrow's legit.
They're there. That's
yeah.
it, man.
Joe Burrow.
How does
Joe
he get
Burrow
sacked nine
legit.
Times? The guy gets sacked nine times and wins the game.
I'll tell you how,
that guy's
Eric.
Insane.
Ryan Tannehill's the opposing quarterback.
Oh, stop.
That's why.
yeah. That was, you know, that last pass, though, was tipped up. That wasn't his fault, man. That last pass was tipped
True,
up when we got the interception.
But still, though, Eric, the other two interceptions he threw were his fault. So,
yeah, that first one was
still,
bad. That first one was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, he can't absolve himself of one, even though because he threw three, you know. Like, he just cost them the game, plain and simple. But, hey, congrats to your boys. They're there. I mean, I just hope they give either Casey or Buffalo a game next week. That's all I want to see.
They're going to beat either one of these guys.
Yeah,
over,
I don't
boy.
Know.
It's all over with the crying, son.
All right, we'll see. Just
we
real quick on
City
the
a couple weeks ago. Smashed them. Not the game.
Okay. I mean, that was a close game.
Close.
That was a close game, Eric. Come on. I mean.
Okay, wasn't even close.
Please, Eric.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, just
going to the Super Bowl.
Listen, Robbie.
Regarding the fights, man, I don't know what's up with Tug.
What a close fight that was, huh? What a close fight that was, huh, Notch?
Ray
could win either way.
Lucas got robbed. Lucas got robbed. That knockdown should have counted, and they didn't give it to him.
Of course it should.
And then Eddie Claudio has the audacity to sit there in front of Jim Gray and act like the knockdown didn't happen, saying it was a slip. It was like, you got to be kidding me. Come on. Like, that's ridiculous. He just missed that, and it cost Lucas the fight, which is totally you know, unfair to Lucas because he's never going to get that shot again. He's not going to get a shot at Tug again. So it sucks for him, but, you know, it is what it is, unfortunately. The best fight of the night, of course. Yeah, it is. The fight of the year contender already is that Anayan Matias fight. Man, those two guys just went back and forth all night. But you got to give Matias credit. He was able to just gradually break him down as the fight went on. And then eventually in the ninth round when he hit him with that hook and dropped him, he finally was able to break Anayan and finally, he got the win. But, geez, it's horrible that the ringside doctor had to be the one to step in and stop the fight. It just felt like the coroner would have sent Anayan back out there when you could clearly see that dude was done. He had nothing left after that knockdown. I don't know what they were thinking if the doctor doesn't step in to say to the ref, like, yeah, this fight's over, because that poor dude, you could see he was done. He had nothing left. I mean, he gave it his all, but unfortunately he wasn't able to, you know, come up with the win. That's a really good win for Matias. I don't know who he gets next. I mean, they're hoping that Josh Taylor at some point moves up to 47 and vacates the belt so that Matias can fight for a vacant belt at 140, but who knows how long that's going to be, because Taylor's going to fight next month against Catterall, and he should win that fight. So it'll be interesting to see how long Taylor stays at 40 before he finally decides to move up to 47. And then for the main event, I'm sorry, like that guy who was saying in the chat, talking about a draw, he must be crazy. And those two judges were nuts, talking about Russell won five rounds on two cards and then he got a draw on the other one. That's insane. There's no way that he won that many. I saw him lose that fight 9-3. I mean, Farhood even had that fight 8-4. So, yeah, I know you scored it the same way I did. I'm sorry, but there's no way that Russell won. I don't know what it is, but it just feels like sometimes guys, and fans, and sometimes even these judges, it feels like the whole, if a defensive fighter is quote-unquote not getting hit, and he's landing one or two punches around, that all of a sudden he wins a round. That's crazy to me. Like, if the guy's really in retreat mode the whole time and he's really not doing anything to try to, you know, to put his stamp on the fight, how do you give a guy a round for him just, you know, landing one or two shots but basically in retreat mode the whole time? Because that's what it looked like Russell was doing last night after he got hurt. He was in retreat mode pretty much the rest of the fight, and these judges are giving him credit for rounds that you were like, what the hell? Like, there's no way he won that many rounds. But the way I look at it is he was the A side on the card, and he was fighting close to his hometown. So you knew the judges were going to be influenced to have to give him probably rounds that he didn't deserve. Yeah. And that's what happened. But good thing Maxayo did enough to win the fight, and hopefully, you know, Maxayo, you know, gets another fight soon and he's not sitting on the sidelines. But, yeah, it's just interesting, though, guys. Like, I do find it funny, like you guys were saying, how Russell has all these quote-unquote supporters after the fight talking about, you know, he's over here saying, oh, I busted my, you know, I tore a tendon in my shoulder and I've had the injury, you know, for a long time. And they told me that I could just avoid surgery by strengthening it. I mean, the guy was sitting out for almost two whole years. He could have had the procedure done this entire time that he was out, and he could have rehabbed
those
and
same
everything,
guys,
and he would have been fine.
Those same guys criticized Pacquiao for the Mayweather fight, for the shoulder in the Mayweather fight, saying that he wasn't injured, this and that, and that, all that stuff. Keep the same energy for Gary Russell. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Fucking tribal, man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They won't.
Yeah. Yeah, and they won't exactly be. They'll always bash the guys who they don't like, and then the guys who, you know, they claim are their favorite fighters, they'll defend tooth and nail to the very end, which is crazy.
But
we don't dislike Gary Russell over here, man. That's not about, we're not about that, and that's not what this is about. But again, like, these guys are friggin' riding Gary Russell hard. And he ain't paying your bills, guys. He ain't sending you Christmas cards. You ain't getting a Christmas present in the mail. You ain't getting invited over for freaking birthdays over at the Russell residence. They don't care about you.
They care less.
You don't know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, like you guys said, it's tribal. They just literally, you know, they ride for some of these guys because they're claiming that, you know, they're being blackballed or avoided or whatever term they want to use. But that's usually the guys that come out of the woodwork to defend certain fighters. And unfortunately, it's just an expected part of the quote-unquote fans that are around today, which sucks, but, you know, you're not going to ever get rid of them. So,
well, here's the deal, too. You know, I mean, look, you can say that he's ducked, you know, like Gary Russell has been ducked and everything like that. Listen, the guy fights once a year. He hasn't fought in 2 years. You cannot tell me he couldn't have taken a fight at any point within that 2 years, any point within those 1 year, you know, he'd fight 1 year, off for a year, fight 1 year. He could have had more fights than what he's had. And if he tells you he couldn't, he's lying. 100%.
Yeah.
Why is everybody else able to fight? Maybe you didn't get the fight you wanted, but you could have kept busy. You could have kept your name out there. You could have, and now everybody's forgotten about you. Every casual fan on the planet doesn't know who you are anymore. So your big fight, your big fight that you wanted, whatever, whoever it was, Tank, Devin Haney, whoever, Terrence Crawford, he called out, whoever you wanted is done now. And you've got nobody to blame for this. Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, and these are the same fans, Eric, that will defend him not fighting, but then at the same time will sit there and say
how he's
invested his money well and how he doesn't need boxing to be successful. So which one is it?
Great. You can't have it both ways. And you don't need it, you don't need it. You know, yeah.
Exactly.
Then don't complain.
You can't have
it
both ways, yeah.
When it doesn't
exactly
go your way.
My point.
Right.
Yeah.
There it is.
For sure. Yeah.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running, man.
That's my call.
Thank you so much.
All right, yeah.
You know, he's right. And, you know, if he doesn't need it, he doesn't need it, and that's fine. Then don't complain when it doesn't.
It all started back in 2015 when he started just fighting once a year, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, again, I mean, you can't tell me, you know, listen, he didn't get the Haney fights. He didn't get the Garcia fights, the Tank fights. And the reason the Santa Cruz fights, and the reason he doesn't get them because he prices himself out. I'm guessing here. This only exists in my mind. What I think happened is that he prices himself out of these fights. He wants to be the A side, or he wants 50-50, or he wants something like that. The bottom line is he's got to take a long, hard look, and his management's got to take a long, hard look before he does this. He's not worth the money. He's not. He's not worth what you think he's worth. Go out and beat one of these guys, you know? That's it. Go out and beat one of these guys.
Yeah.
And then you can claim it. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we will see you guys.